I had one joke, but I save them next week.
Sure. All right. Well, hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. We're going to get in the Word of God in just a minute, and just want to let you know, if you are ready to receive from the Lord, He is more than willing to give you instructions for life. That's what it's all about. Realizing that the Bible is our manual for instructions on how to live our lives. And if you follow His instructions, you're guaranteed blessings. You're guaranteed miracles, because that's what God has intended for us, to live a life full of blessings. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's go ahead and bow our hearts before God. Lord God, we come into Your most awesome presence. We seek after You because, Lord, in Your presence there is an abundance of Your love, Your peace, and Your joy. And we thank You, Lord, knowing Your presence abounds in this very place. And I pray, Lord, as we decrease, may You increase in every way. And I pray, Father God, whatever worries or anxieties we may be holding on to right now, Father God, we choose to release it to You now. And I pray, as we do, let Your peace overflow in our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits. And we come with a heart that is totally surrendered to You. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, today the title of my sermon is The Truly Awesome Power of Your Testimony. The Truly Awesome Power of Your Testimony. You know, just the other day I was talking to this brother. Let's just say his name is Albert. And, you know, he was telling me about something that happened to him that was truly amazing. I said, Pastor, you're not going to believe what happened to me. He told me he just bought a piece of this large equipment, and he was about to load it onto his truck. And as he brought it to his truck, he realized, hey, this thing might not fit. That thing is too big to go on my truck bed. So he thought to himself right at that moment, oh God, what am I to do? And Justin, he told me this, a man he never met before came up to him with a tape measure and started measuring his equipment. He's looking at him going, what are you doing? And the guy looked at him and he said, you know, this thing won't fit in your truck, but I think it will fit in mine. And he says, really? Next thing you know, he's helping this stranger load his equipment onto his truck. And the guy brings his equipment to his shop. And he kind of looked at it and go, whoa, I think this was God. Mm-hmm. And I told him, yes, Albert, this was God. What you just experienced is God's hand at work. Because we don't realize God wants to be involved in every situation in our lives, no matter what it is. Because you know what? God loves us that much. Look what it says in Psalm 136:12 in your notes. It says, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, His love endures forever. That means His hand is always wanting to work in our lives. Because why? Because of His love. His love endures forever for you and for me. He does what He does for us because He's our Father God. He loves us like a daddy. And if we can truly understand that, wow, we can really grasp why God does what He does for us. And what we fail to remember sometimes is that God is always willing to stretch out His hand to help us no matter what your situation is, no matter how big, no matter how small. God says, you come to me with your problem, I will help you. This is the very promise of God. And you know, the brother, Albert, he told me, he says, there's no doubt in my mind that this was God that sent this man to help me out. And I said, brother, believe it. Because if you truly believe this is God, and you give Him the glory for it, guess what? You're going to experience a lot of miracles in your life. This will not be uncommon, because God loves it when we tell people about what God has done for us. But you know, when you hear testimonies like this, doesn't it just fill your heart with joy? Especially you see a brother or sister just saying, you know what God did for me? And you just want to praise God along with him or her. And you just realize what a loving Father God we have that wants to be involved in every single detail of our lives. because that's what the scripture tells us. He even knows the number of our hairs on our head. He is involved in every single detail of your life. If you go to him all the time with your whole heart, God says, I want to hear it. Tell me more. He already knows about everything already, but he wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear it from me. Amen. And as you continue to do that, God is going to show himself strong in every area of your life. You know, a good biblical definition of testimony is a public declaration of God's power and presence in a believer's life. When God displays his power and shows you that he is here, it's time to unzip your lip. Be a walking mouthpiece to tell everyone about the goodness of God. Tell everyone what God has done for you. Because as we're going to learn in scriptures, God loves that. When we can do that. When God shows himself, don't zip your lip. Oh, unzip it. Oh, and tell everyone about the good news about Jesus Christ. So it brings us to this question. It says here in your notes, why is it so important that we give testimony to what God has done in our lives? Well, look at number one here. It says, our testimonies can encourage other believers to move forward with God. Our testimonies can encourage other believers to move forward with God. You know, I got to tell you, sometimes I hear a believer tell me, Pastor, you have no idea what I'm going through. And you know, I've been, you know, talking to many people over the years as a minister of the word. And, you know, sometimes they tell me things where, wow, that is pretty big. You know, it's just like, wow. You know, that is something that is really huge, crushing you on your shoulders. It seems that way at least, right? And people tell me, it just seems like I'm living hell on earth. It's not getting better, Pastor, and it seems like every morning I wake up, it seems like I just have no desire to live. That's what people tell me. And sometimes when you listen to that person, you say, yeah, it is pretty big. It seems like it's really unbelievable what you're going through. But, you know, as brothers and sisters in the faith, we are to tell that person, remember, though, God is greater. That God is the one that can see you through everything. Doesn't matter what you're going through. You hold on to God. God will see you through. It's in his word. He says, I will show myself strong in your life. Give it over to me. Because there is nothing that is impossible with God. Amen? Because when you start to believe that your situation is truly hopeless, because this is what I'm told, and I'm certain that I've said this in my life. Oh, my problem is so big. I don't know if God can really do anything. Have you ever said something like that before? Oh, it's just too big. My problem is huge. I don't think anyone else is experiencing what I'm experiencing. And if you believe that, you just walked into the devil's trap. This is a lie that the devil wants you to believe. That you're truly in a hopeless situation. Your situation is so unique, even God himself. Can I help you with this one? And I have to tell you, this is a lie of the devil. Don't believe it, brothers and sisters. Because we know God says, I'm going to show you who I am in your troubles. If you trust in me. Look what it says in 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13. It says here, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through. As if something strange were happening to you. Instead, what does it say there? Be very glad. For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to the world. And when you are going through trials, you're going to periods where it just seems like you're just suffering. You're just miserable. You know, sometimes when you're going through all this, a believer, a brother or sister may come to you and say, rejoice in your suffering. Because doesn't that what it says here? It says, be glad, for your trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. And you go, rejoice? How can I rejoice? Don't you understand what I'm going through? You know, I got to share this one thing that happened to me. I know some of you have heard my testimony before, but I just want to briefly share it with you. You know, in 2006, I was going through some things that, man, it really knocked me for a loop. I was in Bible college, and I thought everything was going fine and dandy, and all of a sudden, it seemed like my world was falling apart. You know, I was experiencing severe insomnia. I mean, you wouldn't believe. I was getting like about half an hour of sleep every night. I couldn't sleep. It was so bad. I thought I was losing my mind. And here's the thing. When I could sleep, I would have nightmares. I mean, the real evil, terrible, terrible nightmares. And, you know, the doctor tried to give me medicine to help me out, but it only made it worse. I still couldn't sleep. And I tell you, I was experiencing every morning as I was waking up, as I could sleep, I remember these heavy suicidal thoughts were coming to my mind. And it would be crushing me, and I was thinking, Lord, what has happened? I don't feel your presence. I don't experience your peace anymore. What is going on? And I remember it was just getting worse and worse. And here, my beloved wife, John Lee, comes to me and says, Ben, rejoice in your sufferings. I go, what? You're telling me the what? I'm miserable. I'm suffering here. Don't you have any feelings for what I'm going through? Don't you understand? And I remember, I said, woman, I thought you loved me. And you guys remember what Job's wife said to him when he was going through all the suffering? She said, curse God and die. But my wife told me, oh, rejoice God and live.
Yeah.
That's what she was telling me to do. And, you know, to make a long story short, I mean, remember, it's not until I really started depending on God. When I started crying out to him, I said, Lord, help me. I don't understand why I'm going through this right now. I know it's the strangest thing. Like the scripture says, it seems like something strange is happening. I said, Lord, this is the strangest thing. I don't understand. Lord, I'm trusting in you. And when I started crying out to God from the deepest part of my soul, I started going to God and I told him I trusted him. It was only then I started to experience his hand at work, where he started guiding me, he started showing me what I needed to do. And I just said, Lord, I'm all yours. And you know, look what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says here, no test or temptation that comes your way. Look what it says there. This is the Message version. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. And here's the thing, where it says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others had to face. Because it's when we start thinking that our situation is above and beyond what others have experienced. Our situation is totally unique. It's the worst of the worst. And it's beyond hope. Oh, that's where you're going to experience more grief, more depression, more heartache. Because you're telling God, I don't think you can really come to my rescue. But when you say, Lord, I'm hanging on and I'm not letting go, God says, I'm going to show you my strength. I'm going to show you my power, child, because you have faith in me. That's what it takes, brothers and sisters, to believe in God with your whole life, with your whole heart, knowing that only God can set you free. And as you trust in Him, He will set you free. Amen. And you know, I remember at that time God brought into my life some people that were involved in deliverance ministry. And they introduced me to other believers that were going through similar things, what I was going through. And I remember as they gave me their testimony saying, you know what, brother, hang on. Because God's going to set you free. Because they're telling me now they're experiencing victories. They're telling me as they go to God with their whole heart, God is setting them free. As you are willing to say, Lord, I'm serving you regardless of my situation, God comes in. And He did. When I started to go to God with my whole life, and I told Him, I said, Lord, it doesn't matter what I'm going through anymore. as long as I got you, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to let anxieties crush me. And I remember he started showing me his presence, his power in ways that I woke up in the morning, even though I didn't have much sleep, I knew God was with me. And you have to ask, what was the purpose of all this? Well, I want you to look at this verse here in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 5. It says here, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. I want to tell you, first of all, I'm going to let you know I've been delivered from all this torment. And I have to let you know, I see why now God allowed me to go through all this. Because now I minister to people who experience what I've been through. And I see the look on their face as I tell them my testimony of what I had gone through. And you know, they look at me and go, no way! You've actually been through what I've been through? So you actually believe me then? I said, yes, brother. Yes, sister. And I told him, I actually said the same thing you said when I started talking to other brothers and sisters who understood. And then I tell them, now trust and depend on God. And you know, I'm going to lead them in a prayer. It's a prayer just saying, Lord, my life is in your hands. And boy, I've seen it. People are delivered. All the glory goes to him. And here's the thing, what I've learned. Because I'll be honest with you, even before I became a pastor, I was a leader in other churches. And I remember people would come up to me and tell me, Pastor, I've been experiencing strange things. There's an evil presence in my house. And I'll go, I don't know if I can do anything for you. Because in my heart, I was afraid. I'll be honest with you. I would say, maybe you can talk to the pastor. Maybe he can help you. But now, as I experience the hand of God rescuing me, pulling me out of the pit, just like my brother Freeman, you see this guy, he's on fire. Yeah. That's the same thing. When you experience God, you love to give testimony to what God has done in your life, and you can't stop. You're a walking mouthpiece for the Lord. Yeah. Because you know his power is real. You know his presence is real. And you can't stop talking about him because you know he's going to bring greater and greater things in your life because you trust him, because you love him. And now when I go and tell people about the love of God, see how people who are in bondage of the devil, they are set free. They are obtaining victory from God. Because they're turning their hearts to him. Amen?
Amen.
Look what it says in Revelation 12, 10 to 12. It says here, John says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren. Who is that? That's the devil. That's Satan, right? Who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. And we got to believe, brothers and sisters, that the works and the plans of the devil are truly crushed. They are more than crushed. They are no more. Because when you have no shame to speak out your testimony, when you can just continually speak of God's great power, all the works of the devil are crushed. And it's interesting to know what in the next verse it tells us here. Look what it says in Romans 16, 20. It says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan. Where? Under your feet. And it could have stopped right there, right? It could have just said, the God of peace will soon crush Satan. That would be good enough for us, right? Yeah, God, he defeats Satan. He crushes Satan. But God says, no, it's under your feet. So what does that tell us? Why does it have to be under our feet? Because people will see the victory in our lives. That God has worked the victory in our life because Satan has been crushed under our feet. And people know that Satan has been defeated under our feet. It's in our lives that people know that God did a miracle. And that's why God, He allows for us to experience these victories as we turn to Him, as we trust in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Well, number two here, it says, our testimonies delight and honor our Father God. Our testimonies delight and honor our Father God. Well, look what it says in Luke 17, 12 to 19. It says here, then as Jesus entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, just one of them, it says here, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. First of all, I want you to understand that a Samaritan was a race that was despised by the Jews. They were actually called idolatrous half-breeds. And yet, he was the only one to come back to Jesus to thank him. You have to wonder about that. But can you just imagine how delighted Jesus was seeing him coming back to what? Thank him. He was testifying to Jesus. Yes, you healed me. And sometimes we got to remember, when we ask things from God, we testify to God by telling him, thank you. You were the one that had done it for me. Because too often I hear people saying, yes, I prayed to God that I would get this job or I'll be healed of this disease. But then as they're praying and the miracle comes, instead of thanking God, they may thank their doctors. They may thank another person for what had happened in their life. It's good. We can do that, but first and foremost, if you had asked God for it, please remember to thank God first. Go to Him and say, Lord, thank you for what you have done. Because just like these lepers, only one came back to thank Jesus. And our hearts should be filled with gratitude knowing God does this for us because He loves us. Look what it says in Jeremiah 9, 23 to 24. It says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts, boast about this. And it tells us plain and clearly, if you're going to brag about anything, it's not good to brag, right? But if you're going to boast, boast about this one thing. It says here that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. You want to delight the Lord? Well, tell people about His goodness. Tell people about His kindness. Tell people about what God has done for you. Look what it says in Psalm 37:4. It says, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. You want the Lord to give you your heart's desire? Delight in Him. And you know how you delight in Him? Part of delighting in Him means you tell people about the good news of the gospel of Christ. You tell people what God has done for you. You tell people about the realness of God's power that is displayed in your life. Look what it says in Psalm 119, 143. It says, trouble and distress have come upon me, the psalmist writes, but your commands give me delight. Do you do what God tells you to do? Are you delighted knowing that God, He gives you instruction for life? And as you do it, guess what? You're delighting Him. And His power, His miracles will come in your life. And you know, often I'll find, you know, when people are healed, you know, I hear People say, oh, I want to tell the whole world what God has done for me. Oh, I'm so on fire now. Oh, I know God did this for me. But a lot of times, I have to tell you, and I experience this a lot at the park, where you say, I'm gonna tell everyone what God has done for me. And I never see them again. I never hear from them. I go, wow, what happened? I heard one pastor saying, you know, people have told him in his church that if God gives them this one miracle, whether it be a healing of a disease or a job that they've been wanting for the longest time, they say, I'm going to promise to God that if God gives me this one miracle, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to serve Him in full-time ministry for my whole life. And the pastor, he says that, you know, this one person who was healed of his disease was never heard from again. And you kind of wonder, wow, and you kind of look at these verses about these 10 lepers. Only one came back. And it's so important to remember when we say we're going to do something, especially when we say, I promise you, Lord, I'm going to do this. Remember, the scripture tells us we're going to be held accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. Can you imagine God saying to you when you're standing before Him up in heaven, did you remember this promise you made for me while on earth? What happened to that? I just want to tell you, be very careful. Because look what it says in James 5:12. It says, but most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. That's a simple yes or no will do so that you will not sin and be condemned. And the thing is, I know people get excited. I get excited when I experience a miracle from God. But watch what comes out of your mouth afterwards. Don't say, Lord God, I praise you. Thank you for this miracle. I promise, Lord, I'm going to do this now. And as long as you carry out your promise, that's good. But if you didn't really mean it, and you say, oh, I'm going to be a missionary in Zimbabwe now, Lord, because you did this. And nothing happens, right? What I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's good to get all excited when you know a miracle has just happened. But remember, God holds your words accountable. That's what the scripture tells us. Because here's the thing, I'd rather you not say anything at all than make a promise that you cannot keep unto the Lord. Amen? So be careful. Now I've got to tell you about this case, about this man who was like in his 50s. I remember this was like 3 years ago, and he came into the park. It was on a Saturday. And I remember he was kind of like wandering all over the place, and someone in our team went to retrieve him and asked him, oh, are you coming to the ministry, you know, to church? And he said, yeah, actually, I heard about your ministry. And he started sharing his story, saying that he's actually blind in one eye, and the other eye he can barely see. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ can heal me. He says, I almost got killed coming here because I can't really see too well at all. But I knew someone said, and it was at Alamona Beach Park, and they described to him where it was. And he says, I know I'm going to be healed. I believe Jesus Christ can heal me. So praise God. So I said, okay, after the service, we're going to get the team together. We're going to pray for you. So we just asked him, do you believe Jesus Christ can heal you? He said, well, that's why I'm here. I believe Jesus can heal me. So we all laid hands on him, and we just started praying, saying, Father God, let your healing come forth. Because we know that the next day is Easter, and we're going, okay, God, oh, just be awesome. We can just have this miracle. And I said, and I remember, I just started praying. I said, Lord, we want to praise you regardless, you know, whether you show the miracle or not. But Father God, we love to praise you. And Father God, we're believing in this miracle. I remember I was just led by the Holy Spirit to put my thumbs in his eyes and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, let your healing come forth. Let my brother see. And I remember everyone was just total agreement. We were all just believing in this miracle. And I remember I took my thumbs off of his eyes, off his eyelids, and his eyes were still closed. And I asked him, brother, how are you doing? His eyes were still closed. And he says, I can see. I can see. And his eyelids are still closed. I'm looking at my friend right going, this is a unique miracle. He's not seeing his eyelids. And then he goes, no,
No, you don't understand. I see something going up and down, side to side, up and down, side to side, up and down, side to side. What is that?
A
cross.
I remember looking at one of my friends here and going, what's he talking about? Just tell you how simple my mind is, right? And my friend says, I think he just described a cross. I said, yes, just the day before Easter. Wow. And I remember I just said, brother, open your eyes. Open his eyes like this. Kind of bring his head back and looks right at me. I can see you. I can see you. I can see you. I tell you, you ever seen a little kid jumping up for joy when a father gives a lollipop to him or her? You ever seen that? That's what we're doing. We're jumping up and down, praising God. A miracle had just happened. And I got to tell you, we were ecstatic. And then he said, no, you don't understand, I can see you. Yes, brother, we believe you. We know God has let this miracle come. And I remember after that, I talked with him, and he said, Pastor, is he going to take it away? Is God going to take away this miracle because I can really see? I said, why would God want to do that? He said, he did this for you because he loves you. And I said, brother, what I want you to do is just constantly thank him, give him praise for what he has done. Just keep thanking him and don't stop. I remember as he started walking off, right? I remember he didn't walk off the same way he came in. He knew where he was going. And I was like, oh, praise God. But here's the thing. This is 3 years ago. I never seen him again. I thought he would come back to give his testimony. But you know what? It's so amazing. This is how we know God has a sense of humor. This is the sermon that I prepared just this week, actually just several days ago. And guess what? Saw him yesterday. And he goes, Pastor, do you remember me? And I kind of looking at him, go, yeah, I kind of remember your face. You were the one that prayed for me, you and your team. And I was healed. And I go, okay. He said, do you remember I was blind? I couldn't see. I could barely see out of one eye. And now I can see. I said, that was you? Yeah. And he says, I want to tell you, my vision is only getting better and better. And I said, oh, praise God. And I started telling everyone, I said, Johnny, you remember him? And I was telling Lawrence, I was telling Rena, I think he was there that day too, right? And I was just telling everyone, I said, that's him. And Johnny said, you should have took a picture of him. I go, I never thought of it, you know? But I was like, wow. He says, it's getting better. And he says, he praises God for what he has done. You know, it took 3 years later, but praise God, he came back. He came back to tell the good news that Jesus Christ is real, that his power is real, that he is in the business of making miracles happen even today. Yes, even today. And the only thing you can do is go, praise God. God did it. And we just give him all the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Woo, praise God. Well, number 3 here, it says, our testimonies help to shape us to be the person God wants us to be. Look what it says in 1 Peter 2:12. It says here, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And you understand, pagans are people that worship idols, right? So they don't believe in God. But it tells us, Peter says to us, we're to live such good lives that though they even accuse you of doing wrong, they're going to start praising God, knowing that God is present in your life. And if we use our lives as living testimonies to represent God, living the Word, I mean, seriously living the Word every day, because if you have the Word of God in your heart, you know how to handle situations in your life. I got to tell you, unbelievers, they're going to take notice. And they're going to start desiring to learn more about our faith in God. You're not going to have to say too much. Because I know sometimes you get fired up. We want to tell the whole world about the gospel of Christ. And we want to just lay it all out, all the scriptures, you know, when we meet an unbeliever. You know what it says in John 3:16? You know it's good. We can use the scriptures. We got to tell them about the good news. But you know what? First and foremost, sometimes we just got to show them that we love them. It's by exemplifying Christ in our very own lives. Because St. Francis of Assisi, you know what he once said? He said, preach the gospel, and if you must, use words. Think about that. Preach the gospel and use words if you have to? What does that mean? It simply means this. Make sure your life is exemplifying Christ. That you're loving them, you're showing them that you care, you're showing love that you know is not just based on the human level. It's the kind of love that you know it's from God. You know, H.M. Stanley, he's a Welsh journalist and explorer. He had set on a journey in 1871 to find David Livingstone. David Livingstone is a Scottish missionary that had been missing in Central Africa for 6 years. So H.M. Stanley was sent to go and try to find him. And after finding David Livingstone and having spent time with him, you know what he said? This is what he says here. He says, if I had been with him any longer, I would have been compelled to be a Christian. And he never spoke to me about it at all. Wow. Can you see how the power of your testimony, just how you live your life, how you carry yourself? People will see Christ in you. You didn't have to say a word about what you believe, yet they say, oh, you must be a Christian. Can you imagine if we were to go through life like this? People coming up to you, oh, you must be a Christian. Because you're loving like I've never seen a person love before. You really have a deep heart for people. You're so forgiving. You're so kind. Imagine hearing this. We know then we are truly exemplifying Christ. And you have to ask yourself, is this biblical? What St. Francis is saying here? Well, take a look in the scripture here in 1 Peter 3:1-2. Look what Peter says here. He says, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without what? Any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. And this is not just for wives, for husbands, for whoever. Just how you live your life. It says, you're gonna see your loved one coming to Christ, not because of all the scriptures that you laid out before them. No, it's because of how you live, how you truly live a life that was pure and reverent before the Lord. Wow. And that's what Peter taught us, that a wife's exemplary life can prompt her husband to be won without a word. And that's powerful to know. Because truly, I gotta tell you, it's gonna be a lot less effort in trying to reach your loved one for Christ when they truly see Jesus Christ in you and it's shining every day. People will take notice and they will be coming to you. You don't have to be going to them. They'll be calling you, they'll be knocking on your door. Oh, please tell me more about your God. Oh, wouldn't that be so wonderful? I wanna tell you about this company. This company named FleetSafe. It's a trucking company that is dedicated to highway safety. And this is what it reports on its website. Let me just read to you what it says here. It says on its website, it says, according to the World Health Organization, that was they estimate that in May 2008, road injuries account for 1.3 million deaths and up to 50 million injuries per year, and are forecast to rise in an estimated 2.4 million deaths by 2030 unless positive action is taken. And it says here, commercial vehicles are estimated to account for 14% of all motor vehicles in use globally, and in low and middle income in countries, upwards of 32% of vehicles in use. And what's saying here is that a lot of these commercial vehicles, you see it on the news, right, where they're turned over on the side and say, you know, huge flame that is engulfed over them, and a lot of cars are like smashed and all that. And this accounts for a lot of deaths around the world. And it's numbers like these that have prompted FleetSafe and other companies to produce stickers. You've probably seen them, right? Where it says 1-800, call 1-800, how's my driving? And basically, you can call this number to either complain or compliment the driver, right? And because if the driver cuts you off or they're reckless in their driving, you can call that number and say, hey, you got to replace that driver. And there's a number on that truck, right? So number 8321 was a terrible driver. Get rid of him, right? Or you can just call them up and compliment them. Oh, yeah, your driver, I just tell you, he was so safe. He handles the truck so well. And here's the thing. With that sticker, there's no doubt, right? Because there's now the fear of being reported. And now that these drivers are held accountable, guess what? It changed the way how they conduct themselves on the road, right? They have to be more safe, and they got to be more friendly when it comes to driving. And it kind of makes you think. One has to wonder how such an approach might encourage the reckless Christian to better navigate the highways and byways of life. Because too often, if the truth were to be told, sometimes all of us, we may plow over other people just like a runaway 18-wheeler. Sometimes with our sinful attitudes and actions, sometimes we don't even realize it. We might have said something or did something to hurt another brother or sister. And here's the thing, just imagine what would happen if we all had to wear something like this on our backs. Can you imagine? Who would want to wear something like this? You know why, brother? Because imagine, people will be calling in with complaints or compliments, right? And it will be reported to either the pastor or any spiritual leader, an elder, whoever, right, for disciplinary action or commendation. Imagine, would you want to wear something like this? Do we need, really, to wear something like this? Call 1-800-MY-TESTIMONY to tell my leader how I'm living the Christian life. Hopefully we won't need something like that. Actually, we don't need that, because the only one who needs to know is, guess who? It's our Father God. And we know in Matthew 6:6, it tells us, the Father, He sees all. He sees all that is done in secret. You cannot hide anything from God. But God knows your heart. He's looking at your heart, how you're living your life. And we don't need this sign here, but you know what? If you truly are in His Word, you're living your life for God. It's already written where? On your heart. And if you really have the Word of God in your heart, you don't need that sign. Brother Freeman, you don't need that sign. It's already written in your heart, brother, and I can see it already. I see how fired up you are for the Lord. And that's what God takes notice of. Is it written in your heart? Because if it is, you know you're going to live a life that is exemplary of Christ. And I have to tell you, God is pleased when we do it His way. Look what it says in Colossians 3:17. It says there, and whatever you do or say, do it as a what? A representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. You are representing Christ. So as soon as you step out of the door, actually, even before you step out of the door, you got to make sure you're representing Christ well. Because before you step out of the door, who's around you? Your family. And you got to make sure as you wake up, you got to ask yourself, I'm going to represent you well starting right now. Because I got to tell you about this pastor. His name is Roland Hill. He's an evangelical English preacher who used to say that he would not believe a man to be a true Christian unless his wife, his children, the servants were better people because of this very fact that he was a Christian. And he continues to say even the dog and the cat should be better for it. So, in other words, if you go to his church, he'll probably ask you, so, how's your wife, your children, your dog, and your cat? If you're not doing so well, hey, he'll probably tell you, you better get in the Bible more. Because this is what he's trying to say. It's how you live your life. Is your family better for the very fact that you are a believer? And this is not just for a husband, this is also for the wives and for the children too. If you say you believe in God, you should show it. And you know, we're going to make mistakes, and sometimes we have a slip of the tongue, and sometimes we're in the heat of the moment, we're saying things that, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. Well, you know what? If you have said it, and you said it in anger, well, repent. Make it right. That's what God looks for. He doesn't look for perfection in you. He looks for a repentant heart. Amen? And if you have that repentant heart, God says, okay, it's cleansed. Let's start anew. And as you do that, God will continually fill you up. Because this is what the scripture says in Matthew 7:20. So by their fruit, what does it say there? You will know them. What is the fruit? Well, the fruit is the outcome of your works. What you've done unto the Lord. Is there fruit that you know is sweet? It's tasty. I mean, the things you've done for God. You see how your family is embracing the word of God. You see your friends, your co-workers, how they love God because you somehow have impacted their lives with the very words of God. This is the fruit. And we know about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. All these things, are they present in your life? Because by your fruits, people will know that you belong to God. Amen? Well, I want to tell you about this one man, this brother, that has truly produced so much good fruit in the short time he's been with us. Where is Carl? Deacon Carl, he's a deacon, he's a leader of the church. And I just asked the brother, I said, brother, I want you to give us testimony to what God has done in your life. Because if you hear his testimony, God has truly done a miracle in his life. I'm going to ask the brother to come on up and get his testimony.
Hi, I'm Carl. Give a testimony. Everybody has a testimony. But I'll start right away. My Christian walk started a long time ago when I met my wife. She was a Christian. So I knew there was something special about her. That's what it really attracted me to her. But as years went on, I was the type of Christian that would just go to church on Sundays. When it was convenient, I'd go. You know, if not, man, don't worry about it. You know, reading the Bible. If you knew Carl, reading is not one of my strong points. Nowadays, you see Carl in a bookstore, you better take a picture. You know, because that was non-existence too. So, you know, a lot of those things weren't involved in my Christian walk at that time. So that was it. I would start getting involved with God more, but then you know I would have a 2-week drill or something like that. Just totally forget everything. Right back to where I started from, you know, friends, work, swearing, whatever it was, that was the walk then. But then, in May of last year, Jordan he was at St. Louis High School, and how it all started was that he had to do like community service, and we asked Freddie here if Jordan could come and do things. So, you know. He said, yeah, sure, you can come out with the outreach program and stuff. So we went there, but basically I went there to keep an eye on Jordan, make sure to see what he was doing. But as I seen all of you, and as well as the people at the outreach program, things started happening inside me. and and it was good things. I started just seeing things of how, like the people at the outreach program, where they didn't have much, and yet they were faithful to God, and they wanted to hear His word, and they were taking excuses away from me and my walk. So, and then, you know, I had a lot of problems in, and I always felt like, you know, God didn't create him, I did. And I knew enough of Scripture and God going through my life that I thought I knew everything. So I was like, you know, I'm going to get myself straightened out, then I'll come to church. and you know, I was like, yeah, so I'll do that. But, and I had enough problems, so I was telling myself, you know, the world has their problems, I have my problems. You take care of yours, I take care of mine, you know. And I wasn't, though things were stirring up in me, I was fearful of committing to God, because I knew what God would do. I knew that He was able to change. And I see myself before in the past where I would get hungry for the God, and then I would just go back to my old way. And I didn't want to be a hypocrite, because that's basically what I was doing. I didn't want to do that. And I was fearful of being like that. But through my attitude and the way I felt about things, the world was creeping into my family life, where, you know, we would come home, and all three of us, there's only three, you know, my wife, me, and my son, we all go our separate ways. And, you know, we didn't want to have to deal with each other or anything. And I feel, and deep in my heart, I was saying to myself, this isn't right, Lord. I don't want this for my family. I know you want better. And what am I to do? What am I to do? So one night, at work, I was just contemplating everything, and I was just saying to myself, you know, Lord, I need you. I need you in my life. I need to. I cannot do this on my own. So basically what I was doing, I was ready to surrender. And not the white flag kind of surrender where you're going like that, but it was a personal and deep surrender that I needed to give to Him. And I went on my knees that night, and there was crying involved. And there was that surrender where I was willing to give everything to God. I knew enough to know I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I don't know, I'm pretty sure I have an idea how you're going to do it. But I was willing to let him do that. And that's what I needed to do. I was going to be led by Him. And I was gonna focus on Him, because I cared about my family, and I knew my salvation was not at a good state at the time. So I did that night, and you know, you don't feel that automatic change, but something did happen that night. Something did, and you know, I know a lot of times we say the sinner's prayer, and we go before God. But I think for me at that time, it was that one-on-one situation with God. And I think a lot of us, you know, or whoever it may be, we need that one-on-one surrender. That one-on-one, you know, God likes that secret time with Him. And that's basically what happened to me. But then the next day I woke up and I sat at the end of my bed, and I was just thinking, I was contemplating, I was like, oh Lord, sorry about that pity party last night, you know. And you know, I was just, but little do I know, it was God starting to work in me, and He was just flooding my mind with Him. And I didn't know it at the time, but I knew, man, this is strange. So I got my coffee, I sit at my table, and usually what I do is I go and switch on CNN and news and stuff. But I switch on TBN, a Christian station. and this pastor started preaching about grace. And I never heard it like that. And at the time, I was kind of mad because I heard it. I heard it with an open heart. And I was mad because I said to myself, how come it took so long? Okay, sorry about that. I just said I was angry because I seen it for once and for all. And I was mad because I was like, why didn't you show me this? Why didn't I see this? But basically what he was talking about was that no matter what I did in life, and I stand righteous before his throne because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, and how God looked away from his son and he looks at us, and no matter what we do now, he always looks at his perfect son and what he did on the cross for us. And at the time I was just telling myself, man, this can't be. How come all the time in Christian I never seen it, but now I see it? So I went to the sink and I started washing and stuff, and I just started crying. And I knew that he was doing something in me radically, and he was really changing me. And I started reading his word, and for once and for all, I was able to see his loving grace happening in my life. And the change started, and he kept on. He didn't forsake me. He kept on me. He kept on flooding my mind. Read my word. Read my word. Get with me. The swearing was stopping. The drinking was stopping. I mean, I wasn't a constant drinker, like special occasion kind of guy, but I didn't want nothing to do with it because he was dwelling in me, and he wanted to, and I could feel him saying, just read my word. Just read my word. And I couldn't wait to get home to read his word. I couldn't wait to hear of him and his goodness, because so many things were being opened to me now. Now I was once and for all seeing it. And it's like the night at Jordan's graduation party. You know, I didn't drink at all because all in my mind was like, I can't wait to this, not to put you down, Jordan, right? But I can't wait to get home because I want to read. I want to go. And I was talking to Barbara that night about, you know, God and things, and I was just like, I was so happy to spend. I was losing sleep, but I was like, that's all right, because he's showing me something, and I don't want to miss out on this. It was that hunger that he was giving me. So, yeah, it just started changing like that, and then, coming to church more often and coming to the outreach program, I started changing, and, you know, I asked Freddie, oh, can I drive the truck, you know, because just things, and he goes, yeah, sure, if you want it, and, you know, one thing's net to another, and then he just started pouring out his blessings on me, and so many things, you know, that he was showing me and stuff, but at the same time, he was restoring, you know, my family life and my spiritual walk with him. And one of the things is he always brings me back to that scripture where Jesus is telling Peter, oh, do you love me? And stuff. And you know how he says, you know I do, Lord. And he says, oh, feed my sheep. And he's always bringing me back. And that's how good His Word is, alive His Word. And at first, and I said, oh, you know, and I was just in my study reading, and He goes, I said, I love You. I love You, Lord. And He told me, and He reading, He goes, and He said, when's the last time you told your wife? And it was for a while. You know, it was for a while. And I started doing it. I started telling her how much I love her, as well as my son. And that was a big change. But for me, in my testimony, it was about surrender. Surrender all that you have to Him, and He'll show you. And the blessings just started pouring out, you know. And Pastor Ben asked me, you know, you want to be a deacon? And at first I thought, nah, I don't know if I can do that, you know. And I said, man, driving a truck is a lot easier than being a deacon. And at first I hesitated, but, you know, through His Word, I was reading, He goes, what are you fearful of? And I said, nothing, I have You. He goes, my love never fails. My love never fails. You can do it. And I'll be transparent with you guys, all of you right now, because that's what we learn in our men's class. You know, to this day, and I'm not ashamed of it, because I know one day when I'm in heaven, I'll be able to do it, no problem. But I don't even know all my times tables. I'll ask Jordan constantly, how do you spell this? And that's all right. I'll give you guys all hope. That's hope. You know? And I know in heaven I'll be able to do unreal mathematical problems, so I'm not worried about it. But I knew that God was going to start using me, and I laugh because every time I tell Pastor Ben, you know, oh, Pastor, well, you're in charge. You know, so be careful when he starts doing that. Yes, you're in charge. And I was like, you know, that's it. And God is the type that will say, are you fearful? No. Because I'm not. He goes, don't worry, my love will never fail you. I'll always be with you. I can get through to you. And more so, I just find myself going through it, things, because He led me back to that verse again. Sorry, I know I'm not supposed to give just the testimony, but He always brings me back to that verse, and I just seen it. Like I said, I'm not no English major, but where He said, what Jesus said, do you love me? And He goes, you know I love you, Lord, and feed my sheep. It wasn't just about feeding the sheep, but when He says, do you love me? It's an action word. It's doing something. His love and the love that we have requires action. And it's funny because as we go on in that, we just, you know, his love requires an action. And it's, you know, through His Word, He said, you know, it's not going to be about you. And I said, I understand. It's always going to be about you, Lord. It always is. And that love that you have for Him, it's an unfearful love that you have. You just go. You just, because He's able to do all things and show you all things. And you just put in all these you call them coincidence, but it's God's will. And from time I knew I wasn't able to see His Word and stuff was because of God's will. And He was waiting for that time when I would be able to see it. But, you know, we had a study here one night, and it was about writing a letter to God, and or a poem or a song or whatever it is. And then Pastor Ben wanted me to read it, and it's pretty much about the testimony that I had. But I'll read it. So it goes, the nights, the stars, tired of running away. No more to be separated from you, Lord Jesus, my Savior. I'll make the mistakes. You said I'll have the grace for you every day. My love never fails. Your delay was never a denial. Now I am in the open sea in the valleys, not able to see the other side. Don't be afraid, because I know you love me. Your love never fails. Even in the season, only you, Jesus, can make these legs kneel. By choosing me and seeking your truth, you, Lord, have brought me to your perfect grace. Your love never fails. I don't have time to revisit the past, bending at the Father's will and the weight of His mercy. Being drawn by you, my heart can't hold back my love for you. My heart shouts for joy. My heart shouts praise. Your love never fails. From the mountains I stand, with arms lifted high, I proclaim all that I am yours. I place in your loving hands, to the one, the Son, the Almighty God, your love never fails. So for me, I know that everybody has a testimony, and everybody, and mine was about surrender and giving it all to God. And through that, I seen that God loves us. He has a sense of humor. Because every time He puts me, I laugh, and it's not to show dishonor or anything, but I know that's God's presence in my life, and because He'll just keep on showing me things and putting me, having me do this and do that, and I knew it was going to happen. And I laugh because I know, Father, Abba, that's you. Thank you. Yeah. Do you have fear? No. Your love never fails. So I read one more thing. I read it like every morning before I go out the door, and I try to think about it, because it's, in some ways, it's regarding surrender. And I got this out of our book, Radical, and that we just did another story, and it talks to me about surrender, how I should be radically dedicated to God and just giving Him anything. But it goes, our great need is to fall before the Almighty Father day and night, and to plead for Him to show His radical power in and through us, enabling us to accomplish for His glory what we could never imagine in our own strength. And when we do this, we will discover what we were created for, a purpose much greater than ourselves. That kind of purpose that only can be accomplished in the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our helper, the guide, the very presence of God living in us. This is His great promise of God in prayer. Then it says, Isaiah 55:11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You know, we're all His promise. And we all will go back to Him fulfilled. All right, thank you. Great job.
Now I got to tell you something.
Pastor?
Yes.
Can I just,
sure.
I just a few.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
Just before the start of the service, I ran across these scriptures. This is Hebrews 3:14-18. Since the children of flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, Fritos, who all their life were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helped, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted.
Mm.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
And you know, I just want to share with you, you know, Brother Carl had opportunity to lead the Bible study on Thursday. And I can tell he was a little nervous, but he went up there and he taught and led the Bible study for that day. And I remember after he was done, I remember there was a brother sitting in front of me. He turned around and he said to me, he said, "Pastor, I just want to tell you, you did the right thing letting Carl teach, because I like him. He's humble." I want you to understand that. He didn't say, "Oh, I like him because, oh, he did such a great job." He did do a great job. But he didn't say, "Oh, because he knows the word," or anything like that. No. He's humble. In other words, he's saying, "I see Jesus Christ in him. He has the humility of Christ." Yes, that's what it's all about. You know, when we can be a living testimony, people, they're not going to be so amazed with what you know about the scriptures. They're going to see that, hey, you really know God. Jesus Christ is really alive in you. And you can see this brother, I tell you, he is so on fire for God. And I tell you, he says, "Whatever it is, Pastor, just let me know. I want to serve God." I said, "Brother, you got the heart that, I tell you, God's going to take you places far above and beyond what you could ever imagine, because you got the right heart. You got a humble heart. And God's going to use your life mightily." And I just want to share with you some of these bottom line verses. Hopefully it will bring everything home here. I know it's getting a little late here, but I want you to take a look at Acts 26, 7 to 9. And remember I told you about the brother, Albert, who was so amazed about how, you know, the fact that someone just appeared out of nowhere to load his huge equipment to his shop. Well, I want you to take a look at this. This is Paul standing before King Agrippa here. And look what it says in Acts 26, 7 to 9. And this is Paul talking to King Agrippa. He says, "In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God night and day, and they share the same hope I have. Yet, your majesty," he's talking to King Agrippa, "they accuse me for having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead?" In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, what's the big deal? Yeah, people are being raised from the dead because we have faith in God. And here's the whole thing I want you to catch. There's going to come a point where you keep testifying about the goodness, about the power of God. You're not going to be so amazed anymore when the dead will come back to life because you prayed a prayer of faith. You go, "Oh yeah, God did it." It's not going to be so much amazement. Yes, you give God glory for it. But you know what? That's what it's all about. It's the power of your testimony. The more you speak of God's power and presence, the more it will come. I want you to take a look at this last verse here in Revelation 19:10. It says here, John writes, he says, "At this I fell at his feet to worship him." He's talking about worshiping the angel of the Lord. "But he said to me," the angel said to John, "don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is a spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus." And you kind of think, what is this verse all about? Well, you think about prophecy. What does prophecy have to do with? The past, present, or future?
Future.
Future, right? And you know, I was reading a lot of the commentaries from different biblical scholars, and they basically believe this. What John is talking about here is when you believe that as you give testimony to who Jesus Christ is, as you boast about who God is, what God has done in your life, guess what? It only triggers greater things, greater miracles to happen, because here's the thing, your testimony will affect the outcome of future events. Because as you speak it out, you know, people are encouraged. People go, God did that for you, he must be able to do that for me too. Can you see? This is a spirit of prophecy that comes over your testimony. I want you to really grasp this, brothers and sisters, because I know the Holy Spirit just put this excitement upon me when I just discovered this is the truth of this scripture. As you speak more about the goodness of God, as you tell people about what God has done, just watch how the miracles will just come forth in your life, how the blessings will come forth, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to speak out all the things that he has done. He wants to have you be a walking mouthpiece, yeah, telling everyone about what he has done, because that way people will come to know him. That's the greatest thing, isn't it? To know Jesus Christ, to love him, to know how much he loves you. And I want to conclude by now reading to you the love letter that I wrote. This is the same assignment that me and Carl had, but you know, I want you to understand, I'm not really good at writing, you know, just like my brother here, you know, it's not to show to you, yeah, I'm a pretty good writer. No. This is from my heart, just like my brother, when he shared this, you know it's from his heart. And when I sat down to write this, man, I was fine. I said, Lord, this is how I really feel about you. So I want to just read it to you. Here's this letter that I wrote to our Father God. I wrote, Dear Father God, you most certainly put a song in my heart to sing on the rooftops of every home if it were at all possible. The praises that come from my spirit and soul will never cease. And from my lips, they will go on in this world as long as I have air to breathe. In my darkest of times, I'm reminded of how your arm is never too short to save me. Your light from the heavens warmed my heart. You extended your hand to me when I cried in the darkness, and your peace came in a hurry, only to comfort me even more with an everlasting joy. You, O God, are more than just a father. You are my daddy, God, that loves me preciously and tenderly. And you have showed yourself strong when every ounce of my strength was gone. Even in times when I failed you and was faithless, you proved to be faithful and true. Your words came alive and spoke wisdom upon my life and restored me as I chose your ways over my own. Surely your blessings have overflowed upon my life, upon my beautiful wife, and upon my precious children, and I can truly say that I am overly and abundantly blessed, simply because your love has touched my heart in the deepest of places, and I can go on forevermore declaring your praises and serving you with my whole life until my last breath is no more. I am passionately in love with you, my Lord God and King, your humble servant child, Ben. And I got to tell you, praise God, praise God. If you've never done this, I really encourage you, write a love letter to our Father God. Just express to him how much you love him, how much you need him, and how grateful you are knowing that his hand is upon your life and he promises that he will never leave you, he'll never forsake you, he's never letting you go. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for this message that was spoken today. And I know, Lord, we know from the scriptures now how powerful our testimonies can be, Lord. It will bring forth your blessings. It will bring forth your miracles if we are willing to speak it out. And I pray, Lord, that we will have the boldness and the courage to speak whatever you have shown us, whatever you have done in our lives, we're going to be more than willing to tell the whole world about the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters in this place. And I pray as your Holy Spirit comes and counsels us and speaks to our heart, I pray, Lord, we're going to receive, Lord, from whatever you want to show us. And I just pray right now, Father God, if that's us, Lord, if we're saying, Lord, you know, I've been silent. I haven't been really telling people about the good things, about all the miracles that have been happening in my life, even though I know it's from you. But But now you're saying, I realize the power of my testimony. And now you're saying, I'm willing, Lord, to speak it out. I want to tell the whole world. I want to go on the rooftops and just tell the whole world about the goodness of my Father God. And if that's your heart, know that the Holy Spirit is filling you up. And He's telling you, go forth. Go forth and tell the world about who I am. And if that's you, you're saying, I am more than willing, Lord. Use me. Can you simply raise your hand so I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Just raise your hand and say, Lord, that's me. Oh, I want to be used for your glory. I want to proclaim who Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. Most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, here's my life. Use me. I want to just proclaim to the whole world who you are. Because we know we're lost in a world that seems like it's broken. So many people, it seems like they're lost in life. I pray, Lord, that we can be used here to go out and proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ loves them, that our Father God is for them, that as you trust in God, God will show himself strong. I pray, Father God, your presence will come. And as we go forth out into the world, we know we have nothing to fear because you are with us. Your Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. And we know, Lord, people's hearts will turn to you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Because we're going to give you all the glory because we love you, because we know how much you love us. Oh, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor, I heard about people talking about having a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you know, you can pray a simple prayer, but it must come from your heart. And if you're ready, you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You never made a decision for Christ, but you're saying, I want to today. I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. I want to give him all of me so that he can use my life to bring glory to his name. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. If you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, just say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I'm willing to give my life fully unto you. If that's you, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, I want to say yes to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together as a family, knowing that we're professing who Jesus Christ is in our lives. Can you just repeat after me, knowing you really mean these words? Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. And I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for him.
I live for him.
I live for a moment.
Father God,
write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray.
Jesus' name.
And everyone says,
Amen. Amen.